Morning, everyone.
Are you hooked up?
I'll yell into your shirt. So. Good morning. We're so glad to be here. We're so glad that you guys braved the heat and you stayed and you're here. And I feel like I'm worshiping in a cathedral and that these trees. I've been at the Vatican and the huge pillars that are in there compare nothing to this. This is spectacular. And here we are worshiping God together. I'm here with my family. Love you guys. So glad that we're here. Stan and I are not good at preaching, so we've decided not to preach. We are good at hosting small groups, and so this is our small group. We're pretending like our furniture is out here, and you guys are drinking coffee and eating snacks, and we're just going to talk. We're just going to talk about this scripture that we've fallen in love with over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, I don't know how many of you were here, but we talked about the family, and we talked about three aspects of a family that help build a strong family. I don't know if you remember what those were, but we talked about families that play together, families that work together, and families that pray together. And we just want to go deeper. We want to go another, peel back the layers. We're going to be focusing on Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, and we're going to talk about intentionality.
Okay. When it comes to intentionality, there may be different impressions of what intentionality is. But first, I want to talk about what intentionality is not. It is not wishful thinking. You know, we have this opinion sometimes. Well, let's get together for coffee. Oh, well, let's do it sometime. You know, and we have all these nebulous goals out there that we never kind of nail down. So that, and this wishful thinking can be a detriment.
It can especially be when I've asked him to do something.
Yes. You know, and I tell him, you know, honey, I meant to cut that grass today. I just meant to, but there was a trout calling my name out here, you know. So we get off track sometime, and we get so diverted that we don't focus on what's really important. Being intentional means that we have a directive or a purpose or a finite goal, something that we really need to focus on. And in the Christian family, that the ultimate goal of intentionality is to honor and to praise and to worship God and to glorify Him in everything we say and do. So we have to be careful about letting things slide, you know. And there are some hindrances, speaking of letting things slide, that we tend to fall into. And for me, you know, it's procrastination. Oh, gosh. Fear. Getting up here and to speak just freaks me out. What are some of the things that you guys have as hindrances in reaching the thing that you should do? Kids, what are some? Anybody, what are some of the things that are hindrances?
Just yell it out.
Perfectionism.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Thinking you have to be perfect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
Now, I know some of you guys got some hindrances.
How about lazy? That's my issue. I mean, I'd rather sit and read and drink a cup of tea than do my chores or prepare for this. I would rather knit. So, yeah, laziness for me. Anybody else?
Fear.
Oh.
That's what? Oh, yeah, what people think of you. Huge. Oh,
yes.
My gosh, I'm a people pleaser. It's huge.
Yeah. Ann and I even went to the coast this last week to celebrate our 19th anniversary. And we had all of these. Yeah, it was cool. And we had all these great intentions of preparing for this lesson.
We didn't do it.
But we got diverted. So.
Yeah. Keep going.
Okay, keep going. Okay. We're not going to dwell on that.
Fear of change.
Yes. Fear of change. We were talking about that this morning. How fearful. Anne loves change. No, she loves to change and do different things new. But me, I want things to be the same. And that stagnation or that coasting, wanting to stay, keep things right as a status quo, is one of my biggest hindrances in reaching my goal. So, you know, I know I have to be cognizant of that. We talked about failure. Yeah. And fear of failure. That's another one of my biggest. You know, I am so afraid to try something sometime because I might fail. And I know God has a goal out there, a purpose for me to be doing something. And I'm going, no, you know, I might fail at it. I might not be good at it. But sometimes we have to press through those hindrances and just do what God intended us for to do. And being intentional, it takes a lot of effort because it is hard work. You know, it's really hard work. And especially when you talk about something that may be spiritually connected, we've got an enemy out there. Satan wants to keep us from being effective. So it's going to be hard work. So don't think you're going to cruise through it.
Prayer?
Prayer
is the foundation.
Okay. Yeah, and also this is very important. This is very important.
It's very important.
Okay. And prayer is the foundation of intentionality. You're not going to accomplish something, especially for Christ, if you don't pray first. So let's stop for a moment and pray. Okay. Lord Jesus, we just bow before you. And we just pray that you will help us to reach those spiritual goals and those personal goals, those family goals, Lord. We just pray that you would help us to keep our eyes on the prize, to be directive in what we do and think. We pray, Lord, that you will give us a purpose and help us to fulfill those purposes and not let those hindrances keep us from doing what God intend for us to do. So we just ask for your help, Lord. We pray that you would be with Anna as we try to deliver this talk, because Satan does not want us to do this. We don't want to be fearful, but we want to glorify him by just doing what he called us to do. And we just ask for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
So I'm going to start by reading Ephesians 3:14-21. And I have absolutely fallen in love with this verse. I've used it before when I've spoken, and God has just peeled back the layers to both Stan and I. So I want to read through it, and then we're going to break it down verse by verse. Ephesians 3:14-21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, long, and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Mm-hmm. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. This is such a powerful passage, but let me give you a little background. In Ephesians, Paul was, he was deeply concerned. He was so concerned about the relationships between the traditional Jews that were already invited to God's kingdom, and for the Hebrews, the Ephesians, these people were new and they didn't have a lot of background, and he can see some of these conflicts coming. And even in our church today, we might have people from all kinds of backgrounds, all types of ideologies, and that can cause conflict. That can cause a lot of conflict in our midst. And sometimes we aren't as unified as we should be because of it. And in the beginning of this scripture, he talks about the oneness in Christ. And his prayer was that we would be one in Christ, all of us. You know, in spite of our differences, he wants us to be one in Christ. I was looking at a commentary, and it talks about Paul kneeling in prayer. And the first thing he said was that he felt so serious about this thing that he knelt. And the custom in the Jewish community was that they prayed standing. But this thing was so deep and so powerful and had so much significance to the church that he fell on his knees and prayed. So, and this is one thing that we should be serious about, because this is an important issue, to have unity in the body. And he wants us all to be one.
Every family.
Yeah, every family. The next verse, the next part of this talks about every family on heaven and earth is called by one name now. You know, and we all have different last names. But when you become a believer, the only name that is important to God is Christian. That's the only thing that is important. Like when Jess and I hang out somewhere together sometime, people look at Jessica and she look at me and she says, "I know you're that girl's dad." You know, and we should be so attached to Jesus that people can look at us and tell that we are the child of God. You know, and sometimes they even look at Ann and say, "Oh, I can see the resemblance." Come on. But, you know, I think the reason why they say that, because they can see some of the character similarities that Anne has poured into Jessica. And you know, she even acts the way that Anne acts because of their familiarity.
It's the hair.
Hey, it could be. Yeah. But yeah, so we should be known by how God impacts our lives. And sometimes we even have disagreements. Can you believe that? Anne and I have disagreements? And we can deviate on some minor things. You know, we can have different opinions. But we need to be sure who our Father is. You know, we need to know who our Father is. And we don't have arguments over who God is in our lives. We don't have arguments over the blood of Christ impacting our lives. So, you know, it's okay to have disagreements and not to see eye to eye on certain topics, but never, never just disagree about who your Father is. Yeah.
So I love how the way this verse is so sequential, and I'm going to be focusing and referring back and pointing out how the verse moves through here. The next passage talks about, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power." And I was reading this and I was thinking, his glorious riches. My God, my dad, who I can't even fathom the wealth, he wants to give me blessings out of his glorious riches. And the reason he wants to bless me with those things, so that it may strengthen me. It says, strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So the strengthening is not like a physical muscle strength. It is a spiritual strength. It is in my inner being. And it is coming out of his glorious riches. That humbled me to the point that I don't even know how to explain it. But it impacted me deeply. Mm. That the reason for his gifts are to strengthen me. And it says, in my inner being, so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about this earlier, and that dwelling in our hearts was not something that everybody have sometime. You know, they get so surface oriented that they don't see how important, how deep this love for Christ can be.
Right. We were also talking that he's writing this to the Ephesians, so they already knew about Christ. This isn't like you're talking to your neighbors and you're introducing them to Christ. The Ephesians knew about Christ, so he was praying for a deeper level.
Yes.
He wanted them to go deeper with Christ. So he wanted Christ to dwell in their hearts through faith. And then he goes on to say, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power." And I thought, it's funny, this also brought to mind, we were having a dinner with Sarah and Josiah. And Josiah was talking about how much he loved his family and how he wanted to protect them. And he said, made the comment, "Don't touch my stuff." And I've thought about that for a long time. And I thought, that's right. I want to protect Stan and Jessica. I wanted to protect you guys. You are my family. I want to tell Satan, don't touch my stuff. Don't mess with my stuff. You know, this is my stuff and I love them and I want to protect them. But I think sometimes we miss the boat because we do want to protect each other. We do want to stand in the gap. We do want to pray. When someone gets a health diagnosis that is really serious, we want to pray for healing. When someone loses their job, we want to pray that God will bless them. More important than that, more important than protection, is as you're walking through life with integrity, we want to pray that you be rooted and established. I want your taproot to be so deeply embedded in the Word of God, in His grace, in His love, in His riches, that when the battering ram of this broken world hits you, you do not waver from that foundation. You might be shaken. You might bear physical scars. I bear physical scars of being battered by this world. But I want to be, without a doubt, assured that you are so deeply rooted that you are not moved off of your foundation. And that was Paul's prayer, that they be rooted and established in love. And then the next part says, together with all the Lord's holy people. So this isn't just you by yourself. This isn't me by myself trying to make it through, trying to live with integrity, trying to move on. It says, you that are established with the Lord's holy people. To me, this is a confirmation for gatherings like this, for God's church. This is a good confirmation for small groups that we are pouring into people's lives. We know what's going on, that we are praying for each other at a deeper level. I love the kind of surface prayers that, Lord, please bless this person. Please protect this person. Lord, we are so excited about this baptism that's happening. But we should be praying that that person is starting to establish this faith that is strong, that is so strong. What absolutely impacts my heart is when our prayers go deep and we are sitting with the Holy Spirit and we are pouring into each other these kind of powerful, powerful prayers.
Yeah, and the world can't see that we have these deep roots sometimes. All they see is the fact that we're just church members. You know, oh yeah, we go to the same church. But this says that we need to sink those roots so deep that we're willing to sacrifice for each other in such a deep way that the world say, what's wrong with these people? They gave up all this just for each other. And that's so important that we're willing to just lay it down for our family members, because you guys are my family.
I love the next part. So like, not only does he want our roots to go deep, but he says, that, and to have power with all the Lord's holy people. He says here, and I love this. Oh my gosh, I love this. To grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And I was thinking about this. We were talking about this last night. That, I mean, there are some things that are going to come against us that are going to knock us for a loop. But you know what? You can't fall so deep that God isn't there.
Yes.
He is deep. He is down there. I can't stretch high enough that my fingers like puncture the end of God. He's way above. He's way above the how wide I can stretch my arms. When I'm facing something hard, if someone were to come up to me, if I could ask even, when I'm discouraged, when I'm broken, when I feel beaten down, if someone could come up to me and give me a hug and say, Anne, remember how wide, how deep, how high is the love of God. To me, that's like, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Things can't get bad enough that he already isn't there. You think sometimes that maybe it can, but he was in the belly of the fish with Jonah. I mean, what a crazy place for God to be, but he is there. As low, as dark as your times have been in your life, God is there. It's not so dark that God doesn't exist.
Yeah. And we also need to remind each other of our vows that we made to God. You know, sometimes we can get all off course and we can forget what's really important. And as brothers and sisters, we need to tell each other, hey, dude, you know, you're getting off base here. You know, your goal is to glorify God, and what you're doing or how you're acting is not glorifying God. So I want to get on my knees and pray with you. I want to just beseech God on your behalf so that we can grow together and people around us can even see that difference in our lives.
And I need to know if it's, that it's okay. I'm assuming it is because I'm your sister. But if Amy or Sybil or Carolee, if you're struggling, that I can come up to you and remind you, remember yeah. how wide, how deep, how high, how long is the love of God. I mean, yeah. that's a powerful concept. So I love that. He wants to dwell in our hearts. He wants us to be rooted. He wants to remind us of the vastness of God. And then he says this, and it's very interesting. To know the love that surpasses knowledge.
Wow.
And I was like, the love that surpasses knowledge. What does that mean? And so once again, Stan and I were talking. We were talking how knowledge has changed over the years. Like back when I was in school, the things that kids are learning now, things that we thought were true, even that recent, because I'm not that old, is the things have changed. And so, but even like 100 years ago, 200 years ago, knowledge has changed. And so it says here, love that surpasses knowledge. Well, you know what? God is love. That's who he is. And so who he is surpasses the knowledge of this world. And so Paul is saying here, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. If God is love, that is who he is. That is his isness. And he wants us to know that love, that our confidence is in that, not in the knowledge of this world, because he surpasses the knowledge. And he says, this is just so cool, you guys. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And God gave me this picture of when I bake and I'm like measuring up a cup of sugar, and you pour your sugar in this cup and you tap it around and you bang on it and it evens out. It fills in the empty spaces and then you have to fill it up. You are filled to the measure. But if you look at how he writes, to be filled to the measure, it is like, it's like ongoing, not you will be filled to the measure or you are filled to measure. You may be filled to the measure. We were actually talking on the way here.
Yeah, we were talking about like this cup that's just bubbling over. You know, this love of God can be so deep in us, even though you can't measure it. It just explodes in us, and you can't help from to share it. Because that kind of love, you can't measure, you can't see it, but it just bubbles up from the depths of your soul, and nothing can divert you from loving God at that point.
And we don't have to be afraid of running out of whatever we've been filled with. He says that you may be filled to the measure. I feel like it's an ongoing being filled. That as we pour out, you know, as an integrity, if we're moving forward, as we're pouring into people's lives, we don't need to be afraid of running out whatever it is that God in the scriptures promised to give us, because he's going to continue to fill us. We are filled to the measure. That doesn't change. Our measure is full.
Yeah.
And that's just, I just think that's so powerful.
Yeah. Wow. And I think sometimes we have the impression, well, you know, I'm tired. You know, I've spent all I can spend on these people. You know, but God has promised to refuel us, to give us that more love that we need to carry on. We never can run out of this love if we just sink our roots down into God and just live more fully for what he has offered us. He's promised us throughout all ages, for all generations. He's promised us to be there and continue to refuel us as we need to be filled.
He ends this passage in a very powerful way. And in verse 20, he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. And so if you think back to the beginning of this passage, where he talks about us being strengthened through his glorious riches. Okay, I mean, he's building this massive picture that I can't even wrap my hand around. So he says he wants to bless us out of his glorious riches. He wants to strengthen us through his power, which is limitless. He wants to dwell in our hearts. He's talked about how high, how deep, how wide, how vast is the love of God, that his love surpasses knowledge, the knowledge of this world. And then he ends, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. And I have experienced that where I don't pray big enough, and God's like, okay, I'm going to answer big enough. because, you know, I'm just going to show you how big I am. And I am absolutely blown away. I'm speechless. And I'm like, God, I'm sorry. I need to pray bigger. Because he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That's a current power. That's not a future power. It's not a past power. It's current. It is at work in us right now. To him be the glory. This is why we do this. This is why we walk with purpose forward. This is why we plan and follow God and pray about our plans and move forward. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Back to that theme of the family, all gets its name from God. Throughout all generations, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God.
Wow. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this unlimited, this power that is so great, so deep, so high, that we just can't run out of it, Lord. And you love us so much that you continually to pour into our hearts whatever we need to love you and to love the church and to love our families and to love the world, Lord, even though they may be working against us sometime. But Lord, we just thank you for your boundless love that you gave us and that we can tap into it. Just make us aware as we sometimes think that we're running out. Just make us aware, Father, that your love endures throughout all generations. And bless us as a family, Lord, to just seek intentionality in our lives, whether it be spiritually, physically, or emotionally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We love you guys.
Thank you.